Chapter 17. The Sixth Question. Can I access universal cooperation in shedding old habits? Quote, the mystical techniques for achieving immortality are revealed only to those who have dissolved all ties to the gross worldly realm of duality, conflict, and dogma. As long as your shallow worldly ambitions exist, the door will not open. Unquote. And that's from Lao Tzu. As we move to conquer limitations, we're now going to switch from an intellectual approach to a spiritual one. Why? Because self-defeating habits and their accompanying excuses are the province of the ego, the part of us that has edged God out. Convinced that our identity is only of this earth, most of us are controlled and manipulated by ego's false interpretation of who we are. And as Lao Tzu reminds us in the quote above, as long as we're tied to shallow ambitions in the material world, we're going to continue to be slavishly tied to old habits. When you ask yourself this sixth question, can I access universal cooperation in shedding old habits? You begin to apply the mystical principles of higher consciousness to your life. Step by step, you dissolve the belief that you're exclusively tied to this material world. Even taking hesitant little baby steps will allow you to open the door to an amazing new experience. Take a moment to review what your intellect has learned from the excuses begone paradigm, and then trust that any help you need is forthcoming. When you completely relinquish the notion that you're separate from the mind of the universe, when you're in a God-realized or a Tao-centered place, this is the point where you bid farewell to excuses. Accessing universal cooperation. The moment has come for you to recover your original pure insight, the clarity and the light that are within you now, as they always have been. Enlightenment means that you access that light within you, which is where you find divine guidance. Now is the time to surrender your worldly ambitions and turn yourself over to that guidance. The source of all creation is pure energy, completely devoid of material form. You came from this source, and you will return to it, as I've spoken about frequently in this program. You don't have to physically die in order to access its unlimited power. You only need to become more like it. Your source of being recognizes only that which it is. So when you're unlike your source, or God, or the Tao, or the universal mind, or spirit, that's when you're dominated by ego and think that you need all of its excuses. Yet Lao Tzu warns you at the beginning of this chapter that the mystical techniques for accessing divine guidance cannot and will not be revealed when you edge God out. Imagine a fish that lives 5 miles below the surface of the ocean. It has never seen light, has no experience of what air is, has no eyes, and thrives in an atmosphere so pressurized that it would squash any creature who lives above the surface. Now imagine that deep-sea fish communicating with a bird that's flying 5 miles above this creature's place of residence. You can see how unlikely this would be, since the sea creature can't recognize something that's in a separate reality system. Likewise, your source of being knows nothing of struggle, hatred, revenge, frustration, fear, tension, or excuses. These are all inventions of the ego. When you behave in ways that are separate and distinct from your source, it can't communicate with you. Since conflict and excuses require duality, you can't access a source that only knows oneness when you come to it in conflict or with excuses about why you aren't all that you were intended to be. In order to access the infinite power of the Tao, you must become more and more like God. In other words, you must move into the space where you experiment with thinking and acting like you imagine God does, and suspend your intellect. The law of attraction proclaims that like is attracted to like. So when you think like the universal mind thinks, it will join you. When you think in ways that are antithetical to this divine mind, you'll attract more of what you're thinking about. That means that if your thoughts are all focused on what's wrong, or what's missing, or what you can't do, or what you've never done before, that is, on excuses, you'll access more of what you're thinking about. Use the law of attraction to say goodbye to excuses. When you do, the universe will recognize you, and help and guidance will show up in a synchronistic way. As you align with your authentic, original self rather than your ego, you'll start to feel as though you're collaborating with destiny. Aligning with Source in your thoughts and actions. If you attempt to figure out how your source of being thinks, the first thing you need to do is get rid of the ego. When you observe how creation takes place, you see that source energy is all about giving, while your ego is all about getting. So aligning with source energy means taking the focus off of what's in it for me and shifting to how may I serve. When you say gimme, gimme, gimme to the universe, it uses the law of attraction to say gimme, gimme, gimme right back to you. You subsequently feel pressured, put upon, and out of sorts because so many demands are being made of you. It's out of this vortex that you create excuses that only serve to keep you stuck and striving to meet the ego's demands. I'm not strong enough, I don't deserve it, I don't have the energy, I'm scared, it's too big, and on and on. All of this stems from identifying with the false self that edged God out of your deliberations. Shift to a new alignment now, one that puts you in rapport with the creative universal mind. You can begin by thinking like God and follow up acting like God. Take the focus off of gimme, gimme, gimme and place it on how may I serve? What may I offer? How can I help? When you do, the universe will respond similarly, asking, how may I serve you? What may I offer you? How can I help you? This is when the ego's old habits fall away and are replaced by unexpected meaningful events with the right people and circumstances and funding appearing. Lao Tzu comments on the magic of this process. Quote, if you wish to become a divine immortal angel, then restore the angelic qualities of your being through virtue and service. This is the only way to gain the attention of the immortals who teach the methods of energy enhancement and integration that are necessary to reach the divine realm. These angelic teachers cannot be sought out. It is they who seek out the student. Unquote. The way to get to the point where you've abolished old habits and excuses is to petition the divine realm and restore the angelic qualities of your being. Restoring is crucial, for when you begin to think like God thinks, you actually are returning to your source of being without having to die. I can't emphasize enough here that you don't attract what you desire. You attract what you are. Once again, I turn to Lao Tzu, who concludes the passage quoted above with this. Quote, when you succeed in connecting your energy with the divine realm through high awareness and the practice of undiscriminating virtue, the transmission of the ultimate subtle truths will follow. This is the path that all angels take to the divine realm. Unquote. That is to say that you can't just wish for a change or simply think about what you want and expect it to appear. To see the old habits fall away and access divine guidance in making your life work at the highest levels of happiness, success, and health, you must forget about what's in it for you and start practicing higher awareness by serving and wanting even more for others than you want for yourself. Otherwise, you'll never experience the subtle joy of a blissful, fulfilled life. As Lao Tzu says, this is the only way. You can't demand guidance. It will come when you align as your source is aligned. Then, and only then, as you live and practice the virtues, you'll gain the attention of the immortals. Otherwise, I repeat, that the door absolutely will not open. Living the virtues. Some 2,500 years ago, Lao Tzu spoke of the four cardinal virtues and noted that when we practice them as a way of life, we come to know and access the truth of the universe. These four virtues don't represent external dogma, but a part of our original nature. By practicing them, we realign with Source and access the powers that Source energy has to offer. According to the teachings of Lao Tzu, the four cardinal virtues represent the surest way to leave habits and excuses behind and reconnect to your original nature. That is, the way you were before acquiring physical form and the way you will be when you leave your physical self. The more your life is harmonized with the four virtues, the less you're controlled by the uncompromising ego. And when your ego is tamed, you discover how easy it is to access divine guidance. You and the divine begin to operate on the same frequency. As you contemplate your life without excuses, you leave the ego part of you in the dust. What follows are the four virtues and how they manifest, along with a brief description of how they relate to your commitment to live an excuses-begone life. The first cardinal virtue, reverence for all life. This is number one because it is the key to diminishing the ego. The source of being is the source of all beings, including our planet and our universe, and it doesn't create that for which it has no reverence. Since the Tao, or God, is in the business of creating and allowing, why would it create anything that is unlike itself, or even worse, something that it despises? To that end, the first cardinal virtue manifests in your daily life as unconditional love and respect for all beings in creation. This includes making a conscious effort to love and respect yourself, as well as to remove all of the judgments and criticisms from those early memes and mind viruses. Understand that you are a piece of God, and since you must be like what you came from, you are lovable, worthy, and godlike. Affirm this as often as you can, for when you see yourself in a loving way, you have nothing but love to extend outward. And the more you love others, the less you need old excuse patterns, particularly those relating to blame. Excuses originate in a false belief that the universe and its inhabitants aren't there for you. The notion that they're obstacles inhibiting you from living at your highest levels of success, happiness, and health is based on an inauthentic premise. As you adopt this first cardinal virtue, allow yourself to see others as willing to assist you in maximizing your human potential. The more reverence you have for yourself and for all of life, the more you see everyone and everything as willing assistants rather than inhibitors to your highest life. As Patanjali put it so succinctly several thousand years ago, quote, "When you are steadfast in your abstention of thoughts of harm directed toward others, all living creatures will cease to feel enmity in your presence," unquote. The key here is to stay so steadfast that you seldom, if ever, slip from this first cardinal virtue. The second cardinal virtue, natural sincerity. This virtue manifests itself as honesty, simplicity, and faithfulness, and it's summed up by the popular reminder to be true to yourself. Using an excuse to explain why your life isn't working at the level you'd prefer isn't being true to yourself. When you're completely honest and sincere, excuses don't even enter the picture. The second virtue involves living a life that reflects choices that come from respect and affection for your own nature. Ralph Waldo Emerson described the significance of sincerity in an 1841 essay, The Oversoul. Quote, "Deal so plainly with man and woman as to constrain the utmost sincerity and destroy all hope of trifling with you. It is the highest compliment you pay." Unquote. And the great Albert Schweitzer once observed that sincerity is the foundation of the spiritual life. Make truth your most important attribute. Walk your talk, that is, become sincere and honest in all that you say and do. If you find this to be a challenge, take a moment to affirm, "I no longer need to be insincere or dishonest. This is who I am, and this is how I feel. From now on, when you make a commitment, do everything in your power to live up to what you've promised. Remember that when you're living your life from the perspective of your truest nature, you connect to Source. And as Schweitzer said, this is the very foundation of the spiritual life. As you work at being totally honest with yourself and others, those old self-defeating habits no longer crop up. When you know and trust yourself, you also know and trust the divinity that created you. That means if you want to live in the mountains or by the ocean, so be it. You know it's your soul calling you to live harmoniously within your true nature. If you love sculpting and no one else gets it, so be it. If you want to be a triathlete, a ballet dancer, a hockey player, or a trapeze artist, so be it. If you live from honesty, sincerity, and faithfulness to the callings of your spirit, you'll never have occasion to use excuses. This is the significance of the second cardinal virtue offered by Lao Tzu, a mighty tool that you can employ as you work your way through the excuses begone paradigm. The third cardinal virtue, gentleness. This virtue personifies one of my favorite and frequently employed maxims. That is, when you have the choice to be right or to be kind, always pick kind. So many of your old thinking habits and their attendant excuses come out of a need to make yourself right and others wrong. When you practice this third virtue, you eliminate conflicts that result in your need to explain why you're right. This virtue manifests as kindness, consideration for others, and sensitivity to spiritual truth. Gentleness generally implies that you no longer have a strong ego-inspired desire to dominate or control others, which allows you to move into a rhythm with the universe. You cooperate with it, much like a surfer who rides with the waves instead of trying to overpower them. I recommend that you look very closely at your relationships and find out how much of your energy is directed toward dominating and controlling rather than accepting and allowing. As you develop this virtue, the pronoun I ceases to be the center of your communication. Instead of insisting, "I've told you so many times how to deal with those frustrating and rude people," you're more likely to say, "You're really having a tough day. Is there anything I can do to help?" Beginning a sentence with I implies the need to control. Beginning a sentence with you on the other hand, expresses kindness and consideration for the other person. The more kindness and sensitivity you extend to everyone in your life, the less likely you are to blame others for not living up to your expectations. Gentleness means accepting life and people as they are, rather than insisting that they be as you are. As you practice living this way, blame disappears, and you enjoy a peaceful world, not because the world has changed, but because you adopted this third cardinal virtue of gentleness. The fourth cardinal virtue, supportiveness. This virtue manifests in your life as service to others without any expectation of reward. Once again, when you extend yourself in a spirit of giving, helping, or loving, you act as God acts. As you consider the many excuses that have dominated your life, look carefully at them. You'll see that they're all focused on the ego. I can't do this. I'm too busy or too scared. I'm unworthy. No one will help me. I'm too old. I'm too tired. It's all me, me, me. Now imagine shifting your attention off of yourself and asking the universal mind, how may I serve? When you do so, the message you're sending is, I'm not thinking about myself and what I can have or can't have. Your attention is on making someone else feel better. Anytime you're supportive of others, you automatically remove ego from the picture. And with no ego, you go from edging God out to being more like God. When you think and act this way, the need for excuses evaporates. Practice giving and serving without expectation of reward, or even a thank you. Let your reward be spiritual fulfillment. This is what Khalil Gibran meant when he wrote in the Prophet, quote, there are those who give with joy, and that joy is their reward, unquote. The greatest joy comes from giving and serving, so replace your habit of focusing exclusively on yourself and what's in it for you. When you make the shift to supporting others in your life without expecting anything in return, you'll think less about what you want and find comfort and joy in the act of giving and serving. It's so simple. No focus on yourself equals no excuses. The four cardinal virtues are a roadmap to the simple truth of the universe. Remember what Lao Tzu offered you 500 years before the birth of Christ. Quote, these four virtues are not an external dogma, but a part of your original nature, unquote. To revere all of life, to live with natural sincerity, to practice gentleness, and to be in service to others, is to replicate the energy field from which you originated. Now what I'm going to do is take you back through the list of the 18 excuse categories to see how they evaporate if you live the four virtues and consequently access universal cooperation. Excuse number one, it will be difficult. Accessing universal cooperation. Excuse number one becomes, with God, all things are possible. Excuse number two, it's going to be risky, becomes, I cannot fail when I trust in the wisdom that created me. Excuse number three, it will take a long time, becomes, there's only now. I live fully in the present. Excuse number four, there will be family drama, becomes, my inner callings are the voice of God. I must follow what I feel so deeply. Excuse number five, I don't deserve it, becomes, everyone deserves the grace of the Tao. Excuse number six, it's not my nature, becomes, my nature is to have reverence for all of life, to be sincere, gentle, and supportive to all. Excuse number seven, I can't afford it, becomes, if I stay in God realization, all that I need will be provided. Excuse number eight, no one will help me, becomes, how may I serve others so that they may have what I desire? Excuse number nine, it has never happened before, becomes, I am content with all that has shown up in my life. Excuse number 10, I'm not strong enough, becomes, I know that I'm never alone. I will reach out to others who are not as strong as I am. Excuse number 11, I'm not smart enough, becomes, I trust in the divine omniscient intelligence to which I am always connected. Excuse number 12, I'm too old or not old enough, becomes, in an infinite universe, age is an illusion. There is only now. Excuse number 13, the rules won't let me, becomes, I live by the four cardinal virtues. Excuse number 14, it's too big, becomes, if I can conceive of it, passion and the abilities to create it will be given. Excuse number 15, I don't have the energy, becomes, There is an energy in the universe greater than me, and that energy is always available. Excuse number 16, it's my personal family history, becomes everything that has ever happened to me was perfect, and I can learn and grow from it. Excuse number 17, I'm too busy, becomes with infinite patience, I produce immediate results. And excuse number 18, I'm too scared, becomes there is nothing to fear. I am an infinite expression of God, the Tao. This sixth question in the Excuses Be Gone paradigm is designed to assist you into a Tao-centered, God-realized pattern. As you've seen in this chapter, old thinking habits die quite readily when you get your ego out of the way and live by the four cardinal virtues. Without even trying, a need for defensiveness and justification disappears as soon as you reach out to others and take responsibility for everything that occurs in your life. Suggestions for applying the sixth paradigm question. First, practice one of the virtues daily and take note of how it decreases your tendency to focus only on yourself. When you find yourself slipping back into old, habitual ways of being, use the moment to concentrate on unconditionally loving someone else. Then notice that the old thinking habits and excuses are no longer present. Keep in mind that these four cardinal virtues represent the real you, the being you were prior to developing the false self or the ego. Notice how naturally good you feel when you're demonstrating reverence for everyone, natural sincerity, gentleness, and supportiveness. That's because you're in harmony with your source of being. All that it takes to remove an old self-defeating habit is returning to your original nature in the moment. And then dissolve as many ties to the gross worldly realm of conflict and dogma as you can. Recall how Lao Tzu suggested by doing so, you'll see the door open to universal cooperation. Stop identifying yourself on the basis of what you have, whom you're superior to, what position you've attained, and how others view you. See yourself rather as a piece of God, willing to act as close to that consciousness as possible. When you desire something, try wanting it more for someone else than you do for yourself. In fact, act to make it happen for them before you even think about yourself. Or if you're about to be critical or unkind to anyone, remind yourself that your original nature is gentle. Imagine yourself in a formless world about to transform into a material being. That state of non-being is who you were before you cultivated ego and began the process of edging God out. The way to access universal cooperation in shedding old habits is to realign with your original nature in all of your thoughts. Think like God thinks. Practice the virtues in all of your thoughts and behaviors and devote yourself to living a selfless life. It cannot fail you. Your habits will dissolve and your excuses will surely be gone.